my husband is.
Okay, all right. So, to start, tell us your name and we'll get started.
Okay, this is Cassandra Lehman, and I'm the author of I Found Jesus in the Stock Market.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your book. What made you write it? What's it about?
Well, I grew up in the church, and, you know, I loved my church, but what I realized much later on was that I loved my church because I loved the people in my church, I loved the social aspect, and I really didn't have a personal relationship with Christ. So when I went to college, it will be no surprise that church really fell away for me.
Yeah.
You know, I got in the party scene, I got very caught up in the rat race of, you know, more is better, mm-hmm. how do I get ahead in my career, had some bad relationships, mm-hmm. I was married and divorced twice. And I had just left a very difficult relationship, and I kind of felt like I was at rock bottom when I decided, you know what, just one Sunday I'll go back to church. And on that Sunday, the sermon that day was New Beginnings. And so it got my attention. And almost at the same time, I started dating my husband. I had my own financial practice, and he had his own financial practice, and he was practicing biblically responsible investing. And I didn't know that much about it, and I didn't know if I wanted to know that much about it. But when we decided that we were going to get married, like, I had to get pretty serious about this, and I was like, you know, this is maybe a little too churchy. And I had started in one of the big firms as a financial advisor. So they always say, don't talk about religion, don't talk about politics.
Yep.
And I really didn't feel prepared to be doing this. So I went on what I call my one-year quest to learn about biblically responsible investing. And that was really the first time that I was opening the Bible, reading. I thought I knew the Bible, right?
Yeah.
I knew Genesis and Christmas and Easter. And that was really about it. I thought I knew the Bible. And it was really this process of learning about biblically responsible investing that brought me back to the church after a 20-year absence. So it was a very transformational journey for me. It really changed my life.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So what's the book about?
Okay, so part of the book is actually my testimony. It's that story. And what I do in the middle is share with you exactly that journey that I took. What did I learn? And I kind of give people the highlights. Financial jargon can be very overwhelming and people can glaze over. So it's very much in layperson's terms, just like I'm sitting down and talking to you. And I really tell people about the points that I hit that said, wow, I think I'm going to start thinking about this a little differently. And if I had to say the real theme, it's really that you are probably unknowingly investing in companies that go against your faith values.
Okay.
And so as owners of the companies, right, we don't really think of ourselves as owners. We think about the market.
Right.
But as owners, we're participating in the profits of those companies.
Yeah.
So we're praying with our dollars for them to do more of what they're already doing.
Right.
And if they are in the abortion industry or contributing to Planned Parenthood or pornography, alcohol, tobacco, gambling, we're saying, take my money, do more of that.
Yeah.
And in our hearts, that's not really what we believe.
Right.
And when people really start to understand that, they can shift their investments to God-honoring companies that are seeking to be a blessing.
Yeah. So rather than just investing in what we, a name we find and a number we like, we need to do more research into the companies themselves and know whether or not it's something we want to put our money into.
Right.
So how do we do that research? How do we know?
Well, that, I love that question because, as you can imagine, that would be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you, even for me as a financial advisor, I do not sit down all day and look at individual companies. And the truth of the matter is it takes a lot of digging because there are companies that are in multiple business practices.
Yeah.
So what we do is we subscribe to a service, a few different services actually, where the companies, that's the businesses, all they do is research all these companies, whether it's socially responsible investing or biblical investing. And so we have software where we put in stocks and funds or a whole portfolio, and it spits out a report and it tells us this percentage is in this company, you know, these types of business practices. Mm-hmm. And so you can really see, and it's usually shocking for people.
Yeah.
It's usually probably in the 40 to 60% range.
I bet.
So that's a little bit shocking. And so what I would say is to talk to your financial advisor about it and see if that's something they can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
If they can't do that, we're happy to do that for you. And it's at beaconwealth.com.
Okay.
And we can screen your portfolio,
mm-hmm.
give you some information about where you are, and then you can take that to your financial advisor and
okay.
start to have a conversation. Because many, even if you have a Christian financial advisor,
mm-hmm.
many of them don't even know that this exists.
That
so
sense.
You could be doing a great service
right.
to your financial advisor
right.
by saying, hey, did you know that we could mm-hmm. be doing this, and let's find out more about it together.
That makes sense. I notice a lot of companies are owned by other companies, which are in turn owned by other companies.
Yeah.
So how far down do you have to go before you really know enough about a company to know whether or not you need to invest in them or not?
Well, like I said, the easiest thing to do is to do this screening, but
okay.
you really do want to drill it all the way down. Mm-hmm. And the thing, I think, to keep it in perspective is we're really looking at primary business practices.
Okay.
So, you know, no company is perfect.
Right.
And
right.
so just like no person is perfect,
mm-hmm.
We really want to look at their primary business practices and make sure that they are in alignment with what we
mm-hmm.
are believing and want to support.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so looking at some of the questions here about biblically responsible investing.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about,
yes.
biblically responsible investing.
Yes.
So I would imagine that most people don't even know whether or not they're being biblically responsible
right.
when they're investing.
Right. And just to give you kind of the high-level overview, there's two parts to
okay.
biblically responsible investing. The first part is what we call negative screening, and I've mentioned that a little bit. So that is
mm-hmm.
where we take out companies of business practices that we don't agree with.
Okay.
But then there's this positive side of it, is
mm-hmm.
that we're really looking for companies who we say they're shining lights.
Okay.
Okay. So if you want to think about maybe a Chick-fil-A, you know,
yeah.
you can't invest in them. Everybody would like
right.
to.
Right.
But those sorts of companies, there are many companies mm-hmm. like that exist. And we look for companies that give great customer service. They treat their employees fairly. And they do charitable giving.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do a blog every month. We call it
okay.
our Shining Light Spotlight.
Nice.
And we pick a company and we talk all about you know, their business
mm-hmm.
practices, but all the reasons that we think
mm-hmm.
that they're amazing.
Yeah, that sounds great. I like that. Okay, going through some of the more questions here. How can people find what business practices they are investing in? And that comes from your research that you do.
Right.
And how can I research? How can I know? So if I go to the market myself
mm-hmm.
and I want to do my own research and
mm-hmm.
know whether or not to invest in this company, how
mm-hmm.
do I know?
So most of that information you're going to find in like the annual company reports.
Okay.
But I don't know if you've ever looked at one of them before. It is
Neither.
Overwhelming and a little dry read.
Yeah.
And so sometimes things are kind of tucked in there, and you really have to read it
okay.
in depth. So for someone who doesn't have a love of research,
mm-hmm.
really the easiest thing to do is just to get your portfolio screened by somebody who
mm-hmm.
would do that. And it would just save you so many hours of work.
I bet. And you're right. Those things are dry.
Yeah.
They are very,
yeah.
very dry. Okay.
Yes, but it's just the same. Yeah.
I'll pause this part. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the future of value-based investing?
I think it is fascinating to see how people are starting to understand that their investments make a difference. So we're very familiar with socially responsible investing, and you can see how companies respond to that. So
mm-hmm.
every company now talks about their green initiatives
yeah.
and things where they didn't before. And I think as people start to understand how much power they have
yeah.
as investors,
yeah.
we are really going to start to see the tides turn, and we're going to
okay.
see business practices change.
Mm.
So my vision, or really our company vision, we
yeah.
want to ignite a movement of biblically responsible investing.
Right.
So what I'm saying is it's not just about you as
mm-hmm.
an individual investor.
Uh-huh.
It's about all of us together
yeah.
saying, we could change the world here together.
Right.
You know, there are companies who have said, okay, you don't want us contributing to Planned Parenthood, mm-hmm. we're going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if we all mm-hmm. did that together,
right.
we could defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And I just think there are so many opportunities mm-hmm. for us to influence mm-hmm. business practices, and we maybe let that go because we think, I'm just one little guy. I'm not
yeah.
going to make any difference.
Right.
But if we did it together,
mm-hmm.
I think there's big changes on the horizon.
Right. So your book, the purpose then would be to raise that awareness to all investors, all the way down.
Yes.
Everyone, any investor,
yes.
can learn from your book on how to approach their research,
yep.
how to know who they're investing in,
mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to explain to everyone they need to do this research. Don't just invest blindly,
right?
Because you don't know who you're investing in. Now, what are some of the big names that people are investing in that they should not be, but they might not know they are? Do you feel comfortable talking about that?
Well, so I'm not going to give you specific names,
gotcha.
But I'm going to tell you two reasons why. One,
gotcha.
From a financial perspective,
uh-huh.
I have all kinds of compliance regulations
gotcha.
That I have
gotcha.
To follow.
Gotcha.
But the second part of this, and probably the biggest part, is businesses change all
yes.
the time. So I could tell you something today, and it might be different
makes
tomorrow.
Sense.
And again, it's sometimes... the way that the stockholders
mm-hmm.
are having a voice
uh-huh.
that's changing what companies do. So they may provide
mm-hmm.
pornography,
uh-huh.
and then people say, guess what? We're not going to invest
yeah.
with you because of that, and then they drop it. So we have different companies that have come in and out
mm-hmm.
Of our portfolios over time
okay.
because of their
mm-hmm.
changes.
That makes sense. So we can really influence companies.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
So what kind of stories have you heard about companies that have actually changed their ways because of investors?
Well, both Disney and General Mills stopped contributing to Planned Parenthood
nice.
Because of stockholders. And,
nice.
You know, there are advisors who might take a little different approach that if they don't like what the company does, they
mm-hmm.
own a couple of shares
mm-hmm.
so that they can... have a voice, they can go speak
okay.
at a stockholder meeting,
okay.
and they will stand up
yeah.
and have
mm.
really voice our opinion and
yeah.
say, this is what we believe. Now, I'm going to just be really straightforward and tell you, I don't feel equipped to
yeah.
be battling at the front lines of corporate America. For me, it's easier
mm.
to just, I say, I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to divest my stocks, sell
yeah.
my stocks, but I love that there are people who are passionate enough
yeah.
to go and really speak for us
mm-hmm.
and say, this is why we're not investing with you.
That makes sense.
And the money managers that we work with, so
mm-hmm.
the people who are helping us to invest the money, they are all in alignment with
mm-hmm.
our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will say to a company, you know what, we're not going to invest with you, and let me tell you why.
Yeah.
And it's great for them to get that message
yeah.
over and over as much as they can.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So what pushed you to write this?
So I'm a part of the C12 group, and that is a group of Christian CEOs all over the country. We meet in small groups, and the founder, Buck Jacobs, who
mm-hmm.
I have the greatest respect for, he did a video segment for us about a year ago,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't intended for me. It was intended for everybody,
yeah.
but it was intended for me.
Gotcha.
And he was talking about our testimony, and he said, your life has changed so much
mm.
because of Jesus. Why don't you talk about that more? Why don't you share that? So I got this little inkling, like, I think I'm supposed to write
mm.
this book, but I didn't necessarily listen right away. But I would say in the course of 2 weeks, I met a woman who said, oh, I help Christian women write books.
Mm.
I said, I think I'm supposed to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, and there were just these messages that came fast
awesome.
And furious. And so I said, okay, I think I'm supposed to write this book. And it was, I mean, it's a labor of love, but it
yeah.
didn't really take that long to
okay.
write it because it's my story.
Yeah.
And within about 3 months,
mm-hmm.
we had it published. And
wow.
It really has been surprising to me because
mm-hmm.
it was this little book that I just wanted to kind of share,
yeah.
and we've had some nice results on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
and we've had some nice opportunities to go out
mm-hmm.
and speak and do some different interviews. So I'm just
yes.
really excited
yeah.
because I don't think this is something people think about all the
right.
time. And the word I keep hearing is eye-opening. Like,
yeah.
wow, I never heard about this before.
Yeah.
So it's really exciting for me to help other people to understand the impact that they can make.
That is excellent. I see that as very important, because a lot of times in dealing with conversations I've had with people, they will say, I'm not going to buy this brand of potato chips because this company does this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to buy that brand of, you know, of whatever because of that company. But then they don't really realize what they'll buy a brand that they think is okay, mm-hmm. but then the parent company is owned by the same parent company as the mm-hmm. other brand that
sure.
they're boycotting.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm fond of saying, be careful what you boycott. You'll make yourself a hypocrite.
Mm.
What steps do I need to take? Or I guess it's part of that research as far mm-hmm. as, you know, knowing what company, what mm-hmm. companies are into, and knowing what companies are owned by what companies. And like mm-hmm. you say, it changes hands.
Yeah.
You can't know. And I've always wondered, you know, why can't you just make a list? You know, just give me a list.
Right.
You know, but you can't, because mm-hmm. the list might not be valuable tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the other thing, so you bring up this really interesting point of a consumer boycott.
Yeah.
Right? So that is something that is very challenging mm-hmm. and probably less effective mm-hmm. than if you sell your stocks of that company.
Okay.
So when you're a consumer, you're buying a product that you think is a good product,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think you have to feel bad about that.
Okay.
When you're an owner, mm-hmm. if they're doing something that you don't agree with, if it were illegal, let's say, you would go to court right along with everybody else. Okay, so if you think about it in terms of a legal perspective mm-hmm. and your participation in it, if you were just a consumer of that mm-hmm. product, they would not hold you accountable for doing something wrong. But I think that's a practical way that people can start to relate to it a little bit more. And I think that selling your stocks has a bigger impact on that company than even the consumer piece of it does.
That makes sense. I hadn't really thought about that, but there's a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
It does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if you own stock, you own part of that company.
Yes.
That makes you responsible.
Yes.
That makes you responsible. There's really no way out of that.
No.
You are responsible.
Yeah. That's not a theory.
Right.
That is how markets work,
mm-hmm.
and that is just a fact mm-hmm. of how it actually works.
Right. And even if you're not aware of what the company is doing,
yes.
you're participating.
Yes.
You're participating. So, so in that case, you need to evaluate companies, because you might invest into a company
mm-hmm.
that is a good company,
mm-hmm.
and then they may start doing practices that you're not aware of.
Yes.
So even if you've invested in good companies, you still need to research the companies from time to time.
Yeah.
So how often should I research my companies?
Well, we get updates every quarter.
Okay.
And so what we do, we have a list of companies that we say we will not invest in, even though we have money managers who are in mm-hmm. alignment with us. Sometimes we're a little bit stricter. I mean, there are a lot of different definitions, right? It's not perfect. I think that's something that people struggle with.
Okay.
I want you, like you said, I just want a list.
Yeah.
I want it to be black and
white.
Right. Wouldn't it be amazing?
It would be awesome.
It could be that way. And so we have people on all different parts of the spectrum, things that are more important to some people than others. So we try to be all-encompassing and are probably a little more conservative. And so on top of having money managers that are in alignment with us, we have a list of stocks that gets updated every quarter
mm-hmm.
or, you know, businesses. And we have it, if somebody bought one of those companies that we didn't agree with, it'll just automatically kick it out.
Okay.
So we look at it quarterly.
That's
how we keep everybody up to date. And
mm-hmm.
then for us, I guess this is another part that I'll share.
Okay.
There are some people who will say, okay, they'll present it to their clients. Would you like to invest this way? And they can say yes or no, and they'll help them whatever way they want to go. For me, once I really understood what I was doing, and I'm saying, okay, if I oppose abortion, how do I help somebody else invest in that?
Right.
Like, I can't really do that. So this is the only thing that we do. I'm not saying that everybody has to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody gets to their place. Everybody's on their own journey.
Right.
I love when people just start thinking about it.
Yeah.
For me, it made sense that we only do it this way. And if someone says, well, that's not important to me, or I don't want to do it that way, no problem. Let's help you find somebody that will help you to do it the way that you want to do it.
Okay.
But we just only focus on this biblically responsible investing, because it's something that we really believe in and we want to advance.
Makes sense. And it's important. Almost everyone, well, everyone with a 401k is invested.
Yes.
Into a company, whether they know it or not.
Yes.
People are invested in, they don't even realize who they're investing in.
Right.
They're like, well, you know, you handle it for me.
Well, that's one piece. And also, in your 401k, mm-hmm. you're invested in mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody knows this, and certainly when I started, I didn't know this. Yeah. But so a mutual fund is made up of companies, and maybe 40 or 50 companies.
Right.
So that's mm-hmm. why I say it gets so hard when you're mm-hmm. trying to do this research yourself.
Yeah.
You could have 10 mutual funds that each have 50 business practices. You could yeah. That could be your full-time job.
Wow.
Yeah.
I could see that being a full-time job.
Yeah.
So what else do you want our readers to know?
I think the real takeaway is that it is possible to align your values and your investments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I love that I help people to understand that yeah. every day. And in the end, though, mm-hmm. you know who was changed the most was me. And it changed my heart. Mm-hmm. I love reading the Bible. I've mm-hmm. learned so much from that. I'm surrounded by amazing people who help me mm-hmm. to grow in my faith. And there is nothing quite the same as feeling like you're square with God and your money. Yeah. It's a really good yeah. feeling. And there are so many things, I think, that are really hard
yeah.
about having a faith walk
yeah.
and you know, struggles that you have every day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one thing that's kind of set in my life now that
yeah.
I know that I
yeah.
feel really good about this. And so everybody else, you know, there's mm-hmm. a way for you to do it too. And if we all do it together,
yeah.
we can make big changes
that's
together.
Excellent. That's excellent. So kind of summarized then, you would say, let God drive your conscience to invest. And be conscious of how you invest.
Absolutely.
Be conscientious.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So tell us again where we can, how to contact you to have your service as
sure.
far as researching.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's beaconwealth.com.
Okay.
And if you go there and just hit the contact button, you can send us an email. We'd be happy to help you with a portfolio screening. And or if you just want us to speak with your financial advisor and help them to get them started in the right direction. We're really
excellent.
Excited about being able to do that. And then you can find the book at Amazon. And if you just say, I found Jesus in mm-hmm. the stock market, it's the only one there.
Excellent.
And then I also have a book page that's
okay.
IFoundJesusInTheStockMarket.com.
Excellent. Sounds great. Well,
yeah.
I appreciate your time today. Appreciate
Thanks so much.
To you.
Okay.
Great meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
And